Have different people come back over the years to be able to introduce them. This is a special one for me. This is a person out of all the people who are coming this year that I have spent the most time with. Greg and I used to meet every morning, every Friday morning. Every morning, that's more than my wife. Every Friday morning for breakfast for many years, and I learned many things from him during our times together. I also had the privilege of being in this congregation when Greg was a pastor, and Greg was also the one who challenged me to become an elder at this church. I've grown a lot through that, and I have a lot of gratitude to Greg. But I'm not here to just praise Greg. I really want to hear praise God. God has orchestrated through the course of this church different leaders that he's brought in for different seasons of our church. And the season that Greg was here was really one where we grew a lot and learned a lot, and we continue to grow and learn. So we're just very grateful that we've continued to have a very strong relationship with Greg and his family. I'm starting to cry here again. I'm the crying elder, as many of you called me. And it's just really nice to have them to be able to come back and be with us. The whole family just has really blessed our church. I remember specifically the lunch when they were moving on, and so many people spoke about Pam and spoke about the boys and spoke about Emily and obviously spoke about Greg. And just really neat just to see, to look back over those years and reminisce, but also to look forward to see how they've continued to follow after God and be really a wonderful example. Within that light, I wanted to have Greg be able to introduce the rest of his clan and to be able to share some things there. Okay. So Greg, let me pray for you before we do that.
Thank you.
Dear God, I thank you for Greg. Lord, I thank you for the way that he has just continued to follow after you. Lord, you've made him a man after your own heart. Lord, I pray that that heart that wants to follow after you would just shine brightly today. Lord, that your words would shine brightly. Lord, that we would see them and see new things about ourselves and new things about you. Help us to be different because we've come here today. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Every time I come back here, I see more new faces. And most of you, the rest of you, you're not aging a lot. You're looking fairly much the same. But it is very good to be with you. A very special time for us, Father's Day. And I'll get to share some more things, but I would like just to introduce my family and also let some of you know who maybe don't know me as well. I was the pastor here from, I think, 1998 to around 2004, and it's where my kids grew up, which is probably when I reflected myself on this question of how has God used hope in your life. There's so many things, and some of those are personal, some of those are mixed with suffering, and would be more appropriate for like some time at Starbucks or something like that, which I could do that. But I think the primary thing, as I think back, is this church, two of its greatest strengths have always been warmth and acceptance. And my kids learned more than any other place to love God here. Part of the reason that all three of my kids, and this is a gift of grace, you can't control these things, you know. Part of the reason all my kids love God is because of this place. And I know sometimes people's church experiences, especially in the formative years, send them running from God, you know what I mean, rather than running toward God. And so on behalf of Pam and I, who have been married almost 24 years now, we just really express our gratefulness to each one of you. And even those of you who are new that continue on with those same values, those same core values, and the same heart for outreach, and even your prayer, Tom, captured in your prayer, that we love children, you know what I mean? And we want to see them come to faith in Christ. So this is Pam. She'll speak a little bit later. We save the best for last. This is Emily over here, my youngest. Emily, if you just stand real quick. She loves to be embarrassed. She is 14, and she has some things she's prepared to share as well a little bit later. Tim is somewhere around here. Oh, there's Tim over here by Jake, his buddy, and we are grateful for the Detweiler family just being here with us today. And Jake and he have been friends for a long time. Matter of fact, I think, Jake, you came to the VBS here for several seasons way back as well, which is great. Tim is 16. He'll be sharing some music with you later. Tim, you don't need to stand because you're so tall as it is. He's about to beat me. And this is Matt over here at the piano. Matt, all of our family has been focused on Matt appropriately. He just graduated from high school. We just had his graduation party yesterday. So if any of us seem a little tired, it's just because we've been partying a lot, and it's been good. But just a lot of work to go towards that, and we're very proud of our children. We're very grateful and humbled by God's grace and how he has blessed us with them. And I asked Matt if he would share a particular song that's related to repentance and confession as we quiet our hearts to receive God's word. And Matt, if you just introduce yourself and your song.
As stated by my dad, whom today is about you, not me. I'm Matt. We started going here we left here 6 or 7 years ago. And every time I come back here, I just love being here. I don't know all of you, and that's okay. But I just want to say I love you guys. And one cool thing about coming here, I remember the first time we did VBS, it was like Bug Safari or something like that. And I remember getting those toy bugs, and you can probably find them in our house somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised. And it was just so cool to see how the church would just like come to life. Not that it was dead earlier, but like just come to life, and just how everyone got involved, and there was so much heart in it. It was really neat to see that. I'm going to be singing a song for you that I kind of wrote and I didn't write. How many of you are familiar with a band like called Coldplay? They have like, that's Coldplay. And they have one song called The Scientist, which meant a lot to me simply because I thought it was real pretty. It's as simple as anything. It's very easy, but it's not a Christian song, and what I did was I rewrote the words to have a more personal meaning, and it is a very personal song, the words, so I hope you guys can be blessed by it.
Kneel down to meet you, tell you I'm sorry, for my pride has torn me apart. I have ignored you, haven't spoke with you, afraid you would take me apart. I've betrayed your trust, gave in to lust. God, I have chosen the dark. Now in my dreams, somebody screams, look at how lowly you are. Nobody said it was easy. It's such a loss to be apart. Nobody said it was easy. Going it alone is oh so hard. Oh, have I wandered too far? Knelt down to meet you, told you I'm sorry, I see now how lovely you are. You said I forgive you, my son I love you, my child I have set you apart. Now tell me your secrets and ask me your questions. Trust me with all of your heart. Though you are frail, I've torn the veil. I'll use you just as you are. Nobody said it was easy. It's such a loss to be apart. Nobody said it was easy. Going it alone is oh so hard. Oh Lord, you're never too far.
If you would, to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. It's a very simple, kind of well-known passage, kind of appropriate to share some brief things with you today. I mentioned to you that a lot of our lives recently has been focused on graduation and all the festivities around that. And we've had a great time. Had the honor of giving the commencement address at Matt's graduation at the same time that he received the Christian Service and Character Award from the faculty. So not only did I have the honor of speaking, but we also, it was the first time we ever spoke together in the same event. And one of the best days of my life. You know, you feel God smile sometimes unexpectedly. And one of the things that Pam and I, we purchased, you know how you have the yearbook and you can purchase part of a page or something like that. And Pam and I had some pictures that we had put together and a statement that actually my father had given to me that I passed down to Matt just recently that said, "My son, if you will do this thing, then happy will I be. Keep working on the inward man whom God alone can see." Let me say that one more time. "My son, if you will do this thing, then happy will I be. Keep working on the inward man whom God alone can see." And one of our kind of catchphrases or mottos at Hope had always been a place where genuineness is encouraged, people are strengthened, and Christianity is a matter of what? The heart. You know what I mean? The heart. That has always been a strong theme that's associated with Family Bible Church and then Hope Community Church. And this passage here in Romans 5 speaks to central things related to that whole inward experience of what it means to be a Christian. And it says, and I'm just going to read 1 through 5, and I'm reading from the New International Version. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know," we've got four things, a real nice little outline here, okay? One thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, okay? Here we are. "Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope." Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Now, because of our time, we don't have a lot of time to say much about verse 1 and 2, but we had a whole Reformation that was built on that, the whole justification by faith, the whole fact that our peace with God, our being declared righteous in God's sight, is based totally on the free, sovereign mercy of God. It is not about any works that we would ever do, any merit that we could ever do, right? That's like a cornerstone doctrine that we don't have time to really talk about today. And what greater gift could there be for any of us here than peace with God, right? There's none. So we have this gift through God's sovereign mercy and free grace of peace with God, and that comes to us through faith, right? And then we have a description of the Christian life. Suffering, which produces perseverance, which produces character, which produces hope. This is about reflections on hope, because I think it's good for us to think about the name of things, right? We are called Hope Community Church. So suffering, that's anybody who would ever not associate suffering with being a Christian, I don't understand that, because it's so pervasive throughout Scripture and so clear, especially in this passage. Okay? And I don't know what troubles that you're hemmed in by today. I mean, I don't know. I jotted down two or three that I'm struggling with right now, just different challenges that I have in my life. So God says suffering produces what? Perseverance. There's a stick-to-itiveness that comes. We ask this question of ourselves, you know, am I going to be, like this, David Copperfield asked this, am I going to be the hero of my own life or the victim of it? Right? We face that in our sufferings, don't we? Am I going to be the hero of my own life or the victim of it? Suffering produces perseverance, produces character. This is not a pleasant process always, right? This is a painful process a lot of times. And you can't tell about somebody's character, can you, by just their words? I think of a friend I had, Dave Anderson. He lives in Indiana now, but way back he was visiting a friend at Word of Life Bible Institute. And this was back in the early 80s, and it was a very conservative place. You know, a lot of judging Christianity based on externals. You know, guys, how short your hair was, you know, how big your Bible was, what version of the Bible, you know, was, those kind of things. Dave was an interesting guy. He had long hair down to about here. He had an army jacket that he wore quite proudly. And he loved God. He did a lot of unsung things, like paying people's oil bills behind the scenes so nobody else would know about it, those kind of things. And he came there to visit a friend at Word of Life Bible Institute, and several of the new freshmen who had just been trained and, you know, sharing their faith and kind of understood evangelism as a confrontational strike team, they came to him and they said, excuse me, sir, but are you a Christian? And Dave kind of looked at him and grinned in a way only that he would and said, why don't you stick around for a while and find out? Why don't you stick around for a while and find out? Now, what do you think he was saying to that young man? The proof is in the pudding, right? You can't just tell what somebody is by their words. The proof that we're the real deal comes with that proven character that you see over time, right? Now, I've thought about this passage for years, okay? But our pastor preached on this about a year ago, and I was really struggling with, because I've never understood, okay, I get this, suffering produces perseverance, produces character. I go through that all the time, you know what I mean? And that's at least one reason we can thank God for our sufferings, because we have some clue of what he's trying to do in our lives. But why hope? Why that word? Why not faith or love? You know what I mean? Suffering produces perseverance, which produces character, which produces faith, you know, or love. Why hope? And so I just began to meditate on that simple thought. That meditation coincided with a trip that I took in December of last year, December 7th, to it's our nation's largest maximum security prison called Angola. It's in a godforsaken place in Louisiana. You think you're going off the end of the earth, surrounded by the Mississippi River? In the 1970s, it was known as America's bloodiest prison. And there was a warden who came there, actually a Southern Baptist gentleman, a businessman, who's been there about 20 years now, who brought something called moral rehabilitation to that place. And I've heard stories just about the transformation that's taken place down there. And because this was such an experiential learning in God's journey for me, it's difficult to pass on those mountaintop experiences to other people, you know. This was kind of like a mecca for me of seeing God's transformation at work, especially against the ugliness, the backdrop of this hopeless, God-forsaken place of Angola, where 80% of the guys that come there will never return. They will die there. Think about that. 80% of those guys. And we're trying to talk to them about fatherhood. I take it for granted. I can just take Emily or Tim out to Rita's and get a water ice anytime I want with them. You know, these guys can't hold their kids. They can't be with their family. And 80% of them will die there. Many because of even misdemeanor drug offenses. Louisiana's a tough state. Now, one of the things I asked Jeremy to do is just to show us a clip. There's a clip that just came out a couple days ago. USA Today did a great story. And I cut a few things out of here because I wanted you to see this clip because I think seeing this visually will help my application, my learning that God taught me this last year and my application to you, what I want to share with you, be even more meaningful. So go ahead, Jeremy. This is about 8 minutes, I believe.
It's 1,000 places in the world I'd rather be right now than in prison. Because I met my father in prison, I always said growing up that I never wanted to be like my father. Unfortunately, what I turned out to be is exactly like my father.
Every one of these inmates, most of them put somebody in the grave.
All our men are murderers, kidnappers, rapists, sex offenders, multiple offenders. Most of these men come from single-parent homes.
The average sentence is 93 years if you're not one of the 4,000 that has a life sentence. When it comes to maximum security inmates, no one has more.
What's that, man? What's that?
At one time, Angola had the reputation as the bloodiest prison in the nation.
When I first came here as a warden, I was here every week with somebody hurt, injured, seriously, blood, and knives, and all kind of chaos, and just violent. It was violent.
It was barbaric. It was treacherous. It was every man for himself. Homosexuality ran rampant, drugs, violence.
This is an immoral, horrible place. It would have fallen apart for me too had we not changed.
I welcome in the Lord.
I just went looking for morality. It was that simple to me.
I welcome in the Lord.
We found morality in religion, moral rehabilitation.
You're so holy.
The Bible College changed the whole culture of the prison. Because his inmates started carrying a Bible and going to college, then they became that. As the morality came in, the violence went out. Perfect, perfect picture. Then along came Awana to do it for the kids and give them another program. And then Malachi Dad came with Awana again.
Well, hello, fathers, and God bless you. This is truly the day that the Lord has made.
What we do in the Malachi Dad program is we inspire the men that they can still leave a legacy in prison to their children.
Hey, Daddy, how are you doing? I'm doing good. I'm off probation now, and I'm staying out of trouble. I might play basketball for Shreveport if my friend talks to his coach. I've gotten even better on the basketball court. I can't wait till the next time I see you so I can dunk on you. Smiley face. I love you, Daddy. And out of everything he said, it wasn't to the end of it that just really crushed me when he said, I love you, Daddy. Because that's all I desire for my son to do was just to really love me. In a sense, I felt as if I failed him because I know how much he need me.
I didn't know what it's like to be a father as a kid myself. I was only 16 when my daughter was born.
That bond is really important between a father and a child.
My dad was non-existent. He basically abandoned me.
I met my father while I was in prison.
I didn't never really have my father there with me.
My dad was incarcerated.
He never gave me any virtues or values.
I never really understood what fatherhood was about.
He was never there. He was never consistent. He was always just this random pop-up guy.
All I ever wanted my daddy to do was just tell me that he loved me.
We want to build a bond between an inmate father and his child. Even though the father may not be leaving the prison, we do believe a child still needs its father. Even though physically he may not be there, there can be guidance even from a distance.
He said, son, you've got to wipe those tears from your eyes.
The transformation that occurs in these men as they start the Malachi Dad program is, I believe, the Spirit of God working in their lives.
Because now I'm walking with the angels high above the mountains. I'm singing with the heavenly hosts.
The men see their brokenness, and you know what happens when they sense their brokenness? They repent.
My son didn't wrong me. I wronged my son.
I now have cultivated a relationship with my daughter. See, I didn't know you have to have a relationship. I didn't know that. Now I know.
I have to be the one who actually make the sacrifices, the necessary sacrifice to see, you know, reconciliation, healing take place.
We want that relationship to be maintained because you know what? A father will always be a father, no matter what.
Now, last time I talked to her, I asked her, was she mad at me? She said, for what, Daddy? I said, for not really being in your life like I should have been. She said, man. She said, Dad, I forgive you, because I know people make mistakes, and you made a mistake, and you made a bad decision, and it cost you. And I told her, I said, babe, I'm glad you understand that, because my choice and my decision wasn't, I didn't choose what I did over you. And it doesn't make me less concerned. I love you lesser because I did what I did.
I'm singing with the heavens.
It's with the love of Christ that we greet you all, and we are here tonight to honor some very, very faithful men, and they are the 2010 Malachi Dad graduates. Let's give God a hand, have a praise for those men. That's why we're here.
It was a long year that we've been through. The process, we were taking classes, we was going through programs and books that was actually guiding us how to be a better father.
When men are in prison, they realize their mistakes. When they realize that mistake, they wanna do something different, and they wanna teach that to their children.
All it takes is one bad decision to pretty much alter a person's life forever.
These children of inmates, there are 5 to 7 times more likely to end up in prison.
My biggest fear about prison that I would meet my son in prison one day.
And we wanna prevent that. That's why we're going into prison. We want to prevent these kids from following this pattern of crime. We want our societies to be safer.
And when I found out in April of 2000 that I had a son, Matthew, that had just been born on March 8th, immediately the first year, I began to write him letters and I began to minister to him and just share my heart and what the Lord was doing in my life and my life here at Angola.
I've talked to my daughter more than I ever did, but I don't even know what it's like to embrace her, to hold her. I've been gone that long and I need to hold her. I really do. I really do.
We got strawberry, vanilla, tutti frutti, step right up and get your world-famous snowballs here.
This day, Returning Hearts Day, it's focused on the father and the child alone.
It means so much to them because, number one, it means we trust them. We, the prison, trust them to be worthy of this visit.
All right. Now I'm walking with the angels high from the mountains. I'm seeing.
I see my son now.
There's no restrictions on how they should show affection during that moment.
How you living? Oh boy, man, you're getting tall.
We'll be walking with the angels high above the mountains. We'll be singing with the heavenly hosts.
Welcome, Valdero.
I miss you, girl. I love you.
they get to spend a day together alone.
Ready?
Just the child and the father. They can build that relationship that was broken. They can restore what was the hurts that were there, and the father can focus on the child, and the child gets that attention.
He looks like you. Hey man,
hey,
how you doing? Give me a high five.
Right here.
To give back is the opposite of take, take, take. To give back reflects true rehabilitation.
A Malachi dad is successful when he's reconnected with his children.
In spite of his situation with his father being incarcerated.
He's reconnected to his children, and he's reconnected to his children in a different way, in a transformed way, in a transformed life, a changed life. And in due time, the child will respond to that, and that relationship is restored.
And what can they give but love to their kid? They have no money, but they can give love.
Jeremy. God gave me the privilege of standing on one of those posts watching, you know, father after child, groups of kids, grandfathers just reunite. And powerful. I share that for a number of reasons. One of them is just to give you an update on where God has me at this time. I'm kind of a behind the scenes kind of a guy. I think one of the difficulties for me in being a full-time pastor was just that front role where you're on all the time. Now, if you've seen the A-Team, and I haven't seen the new movie that's out, but I always identify with Hannibal's character, where he was behind the scenes. Everybody else was doing the stuff. He was behind the scenes as a strategist saying, I love it when a plan comes together, you know, and I feel much more comfortable in that role. And NFI, the 120 Malachi dads that went through that year program, about 35 weeks of those 52 weeks are with the Inside Out Dad program that National Fatherhood Initiative produces. In this particular one, I was able to write with Prison Fellowship, the Christian version that they use. And so there's a lot of programs like Malachi Dads, it'll be called that, but there's a substance role of providing program behind the scenes with that. And NFI has that. Ave, I don't know where she's at today, but I know Ave works with NFI as well. God has answered my prayer of being able to work close to some of the greatest needs in society. It was one of my prayers in the transition that God led me into with the National Fatherhood Initiative. And I don't know if that's what I'll be doing for the rest of my life. I work part-time in a Presbyterian church now. Been there about 4 years. Still seriously contemplating about getting my credentials switched over to the Presbyterian Church of America. You know, I keep thinking about those things. But this is what I learned from the men at Angola. I've never been in a place where the transformation of the gospel was more vivid in what he did in people's lives. And I want you to look again as we think about that, suffering produces perseverance, produces character, and then a hope that does not disappoint. And why is it hope and not love? Why specifically is it pointed out here in this primary passage that's where justification of by faith is rooted, and we get this very simple outline? Why is it hope that does not disappoint? Well, look with me at verse 5. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Now, what I saw with these men in a hopeless place, 80% never returned to society. 80% of these guys will die here. Okay? Again, keep it vividly in your mind. even these guys that you saw up there, 80% of them will never be able to be reunited with their kids. Now, the gospel touches their life. There's genuine change, right? And it's hard to, you can't be a Christian and not believe that genuine change takes place. And we know that not everybody who prays a prayer is a Christian, right? And some of this transformation behind bars has to be tested, correct? But we know it takes place because we believe in forgiveness and the power of the gospel. These men don't have the hope with a small h of society ever validating those changes that have truly taken place in their heart. But they know what God has done in their heart. He has poured out His love in powerful ways, and they see the evidence of that character that He's forming in their lives because of that suffering. And that becomes a hope with a capital H that no one in this life can take that away from them. No one. Not only that, they see God's love poured out in their own heart, but then they become part of seeing what God does through them in the lives of their children and in the lives of others. I was amazed at Angola. Whoops. At Angola, they have a, you know, some of these old churches, they have like a little missions board, and you can see, you know, the missionaries that are supported up there. And I know you guys have the bulletin board in the back with the pictures as well. Well, one of the things that they do is they've allowed, because the transformation is so dramatic at Angola, the changes, everybody's asking why, and they don't like the idea that religion's associated with it, you know. The NAACP does not like that. It's very controversial. One of the ways Warden Cain gets around is it's voluntary. Nobody's excluded. You can come to it if you're a Muslim or if you're an atheist, if you have no faith. Nobody's excluded from coming, but it's unapologetically Christian. And some of those guys, they've allowed to go to other county facilities. Men from Angola transferred to other prisons to help spread some of this good. Pastors that go through a Bible college that they sponsor there, that go to other locations throughout Louisiana and Florida. And you see God using you. You not only see the changes in your own life, and that produces a hope that does not disappoint, but then you see Him using you to polish the image of God in others. No one can take that away from you. No one can take that away from you. And so, that's the reason God put it here. And I had one of the inmates I've been writing, he said to me, he said, I'd share with him about this insight from Romans 5, and he said, Greg, I sat back and smiled at the statement, there's something extremely beautiful about the hope of the gospel against Angola's backdrop. God works best in brokenness and harsh situations. This is God's breeding ground for miracles, and many strong disciples will emerge from this place. You know, Hope Community Church has a legacy of some severe suffering, doesn't it? And yet, what has it produced? Suffering. Perseverance. Difficult. Even some of the memories that some of you guys have, difficult perseverance produces what? Character. Wherever we are geographically, right? We move and go to different places. God changes our assignments, right? Character, and then a hope that does not disappoint. So, that's who you guys are. That's who we are. That's what God's doing in our lives. That's something I wanted to share with you. Hopefully that's meaningful to you in this Christian faith, this gift of peace with God that has been given to you as you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give a chance now for some of the rest of my family to share how God has used hope in their lives. And I don't know who would like to be first. Probably Tim, because you had a song you wanted to share as well. So Tim go first, and then Emily and Pam.
It's at a good height here. Aha. All right. I want to share a song about hope. This is one written by John Foreman of Switchfoot. It's called Only Hope. I'm sure many of you have heard it before. And it just, it's one of those things that you hear a lot, you know, part of the church. Yeah, God's our only hope, of course. You know, that's something that you just kind of, you go to church, you know that. But the reality of that is a painful one at times. You know, God really is our only hope. We try so many other things. We do all of these things, and none of them will satisfy us. And we try and try. I can speak from personal experience of all these failures. It hurts. But it's never going to stop being true that God is our only hope. He's there constantly, and we need him desperately.
You can, yeah, sure.
I'm not really, like, prepared for this at all. I'm still kind of nervous. But I think if I had to say one thing about hope that it taught me was growing up as a kid, is that a church is not a building. It's a group of people. It's the body of Christ building itself up through the different members, through the different parts in love in Christ, who is the head. Ephesians 4 is what that's from, not verbatim. But it's a passage that's really spoken to me. Unity is important. And what I see here, what I've seen here growing up, is a church that is unified in Christ, and that is a beautiful thing. And I want to say thank you. And I want to thank God for how he's used this church in my life, because I've never seen God's love shown so strongly as a community, as a group of people, than here. And it's just been a huge impact. So thank you.
First, and I wanted to read to you guys Ephesians 2, 19-22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I just want to say to you guys, sorry, I get really nervous. I've gone through a lot of suffering through middle school mostly. It's just been hard to live as a Christian in a secular world, and I just realized I need to first run to my God, who is my only hope. Second, to run to my family, and then I always have my church family. And you guys, I love you so much, and I have the best memories here as a kid, and I just want to thank you so much. And I love coming back here, and there's something that draws me here it's just so cool, and I think God used this church in my life so much, so I want to thank you.
I'm not used to being on this side. I like to be out there, but I will say it's very good to be here. And it's kind of funny because Tim and I in our family, we're kind of alike, and Greg and Matthew and Emily are alike, and they kind of read the emails that Greg sends us and plan, and Tim and I are like, you sent us an email? Did anybody print the email? You know, and so that would be me and Tim, and you know, so I'm kind of flying here. But you know, I'm sitting here, and as you can imagine, I'm flooded with memories. I'm the date person in our family, so we pulled up here May 29th, 1998, and it was kind of funny. Emily was 2 and a half, to give you all some perspective. Timothy was 4, and Matthew was 6. So they did spend a lot of time here. Some of you may remember Skippy. Skippy lives. But he's been given away to a girlfriend. that happens, you know. But I know, what is that, right? But I just, you know, I have so many wonderful memories, and not just memories, but things that have just helped me to grow and helped my family to grow, and just the freedom when we came here. You know, this was Greg's first church, and I remember when we came for the whole candidating things, I walked in a pair of pumps and a dress. I'm like, ooh, I'm overdressed, you know, and I don't even think I brought the pumps from Louisville. I think I totally thought, shoo, no pumps, I can get rid of these. You know, but that is just indicative of this place where you can come and truly be who God created you to be real and in a safe place. And I think for me, kind of growing up here also in some ways, that's something that I learned was that God wants me to be real. He doesn't want my pumps. He doesn't want my presentation, you know, or whatever. He wants my heart, and he wants me to be real. And this is a place where I was able to grow and to learn to be like that. So now you all can come over and not only see my laundry, but you can help me with it. It's okay. And you have taught me that. And you have taught my children to love God and gave them a place to be real. And as Greg mentioned, a lot of kids, they grow up and they run from the church. And we're blessed that our kids, oh, we're going to Hope, we're going to go, you know, or we're even going to our church. So I thank you for that. I thank you for the years. And just, we love you guys. I miss a lot of you. I miss, you know, our women's Bible studies and, you know, the VBS. I miss being a part of that. Sometimes I'm tempted just to drive up here and I just want to hold the hot file, you know, and that was cool. So thank you all, and we love you very much.